We are a software company.
Thank you very much. I'll move to the next topic, which is share-based payments. I think also Kevin demonstrated kind of disclosure problem. So we have Nadia.
This is strong.
The session was supposed to be have half an hour, but we have already run 15 minutes into that session, so maybe if you help us to some time back, it would be very helpful.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to talk about the most interesting accounting topic ever, according to Christoph, which is IFRS 2, share-based payment. Okay, on a serious note now. Complexity of IFRS 2 is one of the projects on the board's current research agenda. It was added to the research agenda back in 2011 after the previous agenda consultation. Throughout 2015, I performed research for this project. More specifically, I tried to understand application issues that arise in relation to IFRS 2. I also tried to identify the root causes of those application issues. I spoke to you in May, some of you might recollect, about the application issues that you encounter in practice. I also performed some additional outreach and research. I finally presented my findings of my research to the board in November 2015. In the agenda paper 5, you can see the summary of the research findings. The board will decide on the future of this research project later this year, in a few months' time. So, which brings us to the purpose of this meeting today. Before the board decides on the future of this research project, we would like to get your views on the research and on the complexity of IFRS 2 in general, which brings us to page 5 of the agenda paper. As you could probably see from either the research paper itself or from the summary that I provided in the agenda paper, the conclusion of the research was that without addressing the fundamental principles of IFRS 2, it wouldn't be possible to address the complexity of the standard. So that was the conclusion of the research. And we would like to ask your opinion, whether you agree or disagree or you have any points of view at all.
Okay, welcome.
So actually, you joked at the introduction that, you know, about it being an important topic. I mean, many of us around the table actually do remember when this was the hottest topic and, you know, went to Congress. From my point of view, things have settled down. I believe you have covered with a lot of the activities in implementation board has done, the interpretations board has pondered on most of the issues. I think to move to a different model, not use the grant date, but say some sort of fair value, that is going to be an uphill battle. That will really open the floodgates, because of course that would introduce a whole load of volatility.
Yes, that's the downside of reduced complexity.
So I would, from my point of view, I think it is complex, but we the preparers are the people that have often made it complex, because we've created such crazy compensation plans, the accounting just follows that complexity. I mean, they're complex anyway, even if without the accounting. So I personally think you should not tinker much more. You should only change if there are real fundamental areas to change. But going back to the previous discussion on disclosures, I think the disclosures made sense in the era when this was all new. And I think when people perhaps produced the disclosures, they were trying to have the disclosures there sort of as anti-abuse type measures perhaps, but I would have said there is room now, now that it's 10 years or so since this has been in place, I think it's perhaps time to look again at where all those disclosures are necessary, but I wouldn't change the fundamental model.
Okay, thanks for that, Malcolm. Frank?
No doubt it's complex, but I agree with Malcolm. We have worked it out. Most of us don't change our compensation schemes that often. I mean, Macquarie, it was, 7 years ago we changed it, and it's been stable since. So before that, it was on an option scheme. And so I think we worked through it. People are used to it. I think it's more the analysts probably that find it more complex because of the variety of schemes that are out there for companies. From a preparer perspective, I wouldn't be a fan of changing wholesale IFRS 2 again, and I would not be a fan of doing a lot of tinkering to it either. I would just leave it and not do much.
Okay, thanks. Bob?
I would agree with Malcolm and Frank. You know, complexity, that's why Sandra gets paid the big bucks, is because of complexity. That's supposed to be a joke. It didn't really work.
Number two of the day.
Hey, we've gotten used to it. You said two reasons. First is complexity of share-based arrangements themselves. You're not really going to be able to change that. We're looking, you know, some of it you say may, companies may structure their plans to get an accounting outcome, which there may be a truth to that. We're going to total shareholder return type look, and we have we've gone away from options and gone to awards, which are much easier. So there is some complexity, but you're not going to be able to change the complexity of share-based placement arrangements. I agree with your research that if you're going to do it, you need to fundamentally reconsider it, and I do not agree that is what you should do. So I agree with that and that you shouldn't do it. I strongly recommend and agreeing with Malcolm and Frank that you did not add this to your agenda. You got better things to do.
Thanks, Kevin.
Besides, yeah, it's sort of singing all off the same song sheet, but I'm intrigued as to where you get this complexity issue from, whether it's from preparers or users, because I think most of the preparers, we have stable platforms. And so once we've determined the mechanistic approach to grant date fair value on an equity settled scheme, the following year, apply the same mechanistic. It's just a move on. The fact that the user finds it difficult to understand my plan compared to nine of my competitors because we're all on different issues, well, we're all different businesses. We might all sell gold, but that doesn't mean I've all got to do everything exactly the same way. So I think the complexity is at the user's view, and I think most of that is because the users are too lazy to read the scheme plans. As opposed to the preparer, they're not. I don't think they're complex anymore from the preparer's perspective.
Okay, Hero?
Yes, I also agree with the Malcolm or Frank's view. The complexity is just only the problem for the accounting people who prepare the number. And so the complexity itself is not the issue, but I suppose it's still. Some kind of issue of, for management, and I suppose it comes from the measurement, the appropriateness of the measurement. And in terms of the equity settlement program, probably it's grant date, their value is of the measurement, and sometimes the share price will fluctuate so much after the grant date. And so some programs continue to be out of money for a long time. However, the measurements still kept as the original value. So that is one problem for, I think, from management point of view. And secondly, I think for the cash settlement program, it's another, there is another problem there because the measurement is updated every closing date, fair value. And that means if we have a long-term exercise period, and still it's not so exercised. I mean the many number of the options remain for a long period of time. In that case, after the service have been already rendered, but still that the remaining option continue to impact on the current year's performance, I mean peer income statements. So that is another problem for the management. So I think the management, the measurement should be more discussed about.
Thanks, Jiro. Stefan?
From our end, I think it's complex. I mean, I agree with everyone what has been said before. Maybe due to also to the point that this standard has grown over a number of amendments, which hasn't made it easier to read from a company perspective. My only comment is coming back a little bit to something which we discussed this morning. This would be actually a nice one to have a relief on individual companies in a group to report on this when the cost and expense are being reported on a group level, as you end up with reporting theoretic costs in an individual legal entity if you're having accounted it and have the cost actually on a group level. I mean, that is an excellent example of simplification, actually.
Thanks, Stefan. Christoph?
So a few words from the perspective of a company that does not have a stable platform in that regard, because it is as innovative in creating new share-based compensation plans as it is in building new software. I think, as you have in both equity and share-based plans, I don't think that moving the accounting for equity-based plans closer to that for share-based plans, where you consider current fair values, would make it any better. Understanding of users is very low. They are concerned because they know that the share price is jumping up and down in your income statement, which they don't like. They like to adjust for it. So I don't think that this is a way forward that would make it any better. I think there are a number of issues in the standard. The definition of grant aid is open to all kind of speculation and interpretation. But I think that the best you should do with it is take it as a great use case for the disclosure project and look into the hell of disclosure that companies make. And not only in the equity-based field, but in the cash-based field. I don't have to provide weather forecasts if I have a liability that is linked to sunshine. But I have to disclose a hell of a lot of share-based information if I have a liability linked to my own share price. It's not understandable. I don't know why we got to say that we use a Monte Carlo model. I don't know if there is any among our financial analysts who knows what the Monte Carlo model is. So to me, this is a great example of a case in which it is something like share-based compensation is material to you. That's why you got to make all disclosures in the standard. Yeah, and we always talk about these cases in which it's something like once you're in, you've got to make all the disclosures. And I think share-based compensation is a great example for that. And that's why, to refer what we said earlier, if you want to have a showcase of really making changes to a standard on the disclosure side to show that you're serious about it, I think the share-based standard is a great example to do that.
Thanks, Christoph.
Okay, could I just ask about that? Because Nadia's underlying paper, she did some research and she looked at some research that was done by a magazine that looks at different disclosures and sort of compares them. And the conclusion she came into her in her paper was that although we had heard lots of complaints about the disclosures in IFRS 2 in the past, that it seemed to be less of a problem now and the problem seemed to be going down, if I remember correctly. But it sounds like quite a few of you still think the disclosure it is.
How do you find problem?
Can I also please add two other points? In addition to the findings, like historical trend, which significantly went down, since then IS1 has been amended, and it specifically tells you that you don't need to provide all disclosures, even when the standard says you should. So IS1 amendment significantly reduced the burden. And also in IFRS 2, when I looked at the disclosures, the actual disclosures, many people provided every single disclosure for every single share-based payment plan. So some of the disclosures were like pages and pages long, whether it can 10 pages, 15 pages, instead of aggregating this information. Of course, if you have 26 share-based payment plans and you provide all this information plan after plan after plan, you're bound to have pages of disclosures. So I'm there is some valid criticism for IFRS 2 disclosures, but you know, when I actually started looking into it, there were some kind of reasons why they were so long, which related to preparers. So that's because preparers decided to make them so long for their own reasons, either because they like this disaggregation, or they like to follow every single, you know, disclosure requirement of IFRS 2 instead of like taking the materiality approach.
Nobody likes. Nobody likes.
But I'm saying that, like, yes, there is something we can do in terms of improvement, but you know, it's two-way street. You know, preparers have the opportunity to exercise their judgment about materiality and relevance in terms of providing their disclosures.
Malcolm?
Yeah, I'm just thinking as we've been hearing, perhaps we've not fully embraced the amended IAS 1, but this would be an area too, you know, you give some concrete examples in this, and perhaps you have, perhaps I'm doing a disservice, but some concrete examples in the materiality paper on what you feel could be deleted, reflecting the latest changes in IS 1. I don't know if there's an example in the material pipeline, but you know, just to help us a little bit to cross out some of the pages of disclosures.
Mary,
I think one message I take away from the various comments, you know, Peter's highlighted the fact that there may be some inconsistency with some of the data we were seeing in terms of the downward trend. I think I'd characterize, you know, what Nadia was pointing to about the different efforts as tools that have been given rather than, you know, absolute relief. But I think I do take away the message, you know, an overall message about, speaking colloquially, your advice is don't reopen this can of worms from a recognition and measurement perspective. But apart from that, I think, Christoph, you were the person who said that we still see behaviors of, if the expense is material, then all the disclosures are material, rather than some gradation of that. And thinking, whether it's in our principles of disclosure discussion paper or other efforts, to think about pointing to IFRS 2 as an example of something where some scaling may be appropriate depending upon the nature of the plans, the significance, so it's not an on-off switch. Because I think we have given some tools. Want to make people, you know, encourage people to think about how to use those tools in this area, but I'm hearing from you guys that more may be necessary, not in, or helpful, not in the context of an IFRS 2 project, but in the context of some of the other initiatives.
Yeah, and if you look at the wording, I think IFRS 2 is a great example. It starts off, you got to disclose at least. Yeah. Then there is language in that, a descripting of each type of share-based payment arrangement that existed at any time during the period, and the general terms of each of these plans. There are a lot of words in that really tell you go down, go down, go down, and each and everyone, regardless of how significant. And then it is sometimes difficult to say, yes, but there's IS1, hello. because people would say, well, if IS1 is relevant, why did they write each if they don't mean each?
And you know, if you get involved in that back and forth, we had a specific discussion at the board about whether to hold up the IS1 amendment and go back and look at the wording of individual standards and, you know, to revise each of the language and said, we want to get the ball rolling and we want to give an overall tool. Which is why, and I think it explains this in the basis that we said, we know there's some language and individual standards that might be running counter, and this is a first step in the process rather than the final step. Yeah. But take your point that IFRS 2 has
why,
a lot of things.
As we said earlier, it may be wise to take one or two standards and show how you're doing it, and then IFRS 2, I think, is a great one because it has all of what we're currently criticizing in it.
Yeah, but you got to be careful if you opened up IS 2. the discipline is not in the organization just to stick to skinny disclosures. You open it up, you've opened it up. Yeah. And there'll be all these other little nuances that somebody wants in, you know.
And not just within the organization.
I rely on the IS-1 change to just pound on materiality and relevance and stuff.
Okay, but I think the message was, I think, clear from the group. Yeah. We should not really open recognition and measurement, maybe look at disclosure.
In the context of other projects.
Could Peter, one final, because we enter into the break.
Sorry, I just want to test on the disclosures, though, because what I took from the discussion is that some of you think that there are some disclosures in IFRS 2 that are almost always going to be excessive anyway. It's not just a question of it will be when it's not material in particular cases, but you think in most cases some of the disclosures will be unnecessary, like the whether you've used the Monte Carlo method or that kind of thing.
Well, no, I think more of what the details of each plan. Well, if the plan is out there, why must the details be repeated year after year after year after year? It's like...
Okay, last question.
I'll just conclude on this. So we'll consider your comments about disclosures, as everyone said. I take it from the overall discussion that there has been broad agreement with the research findings. I also had a question on the paper in terms of the whole research process, like if, because it's still quite new in terms of our research program and how we approach it. So I think I'm going to take these comments offline. If you did have a chance to read my research paper, if you have any comments about the process and the paper and the content, just talk to me directly. That's all I have to say.
Could I just ask one other question, and it relates to the same
last
question?
Last word was to Nadia.
No.
Come on, Mom. It relates to the same question I posed to Kevin with respect to pensions, and that is, in this area, I don't take any exception to your advice to the board on the project itself. What I think continues to remain a concern from investors is understanding how the changes in share-based compensation from period to period contribute to earnings per share and absolute profit and loss. So to the extent that you want to eliminate 3 and 4 and 5 pages of disclosure and synthesize that and summarize it, I think that's all well and good to get to the important points. But at the end of the day, the investor is interested in how earnings per share and how profit and loss were affected by share-based compensation arrangements. So if you led with that, I think you would do wonders for the usefulness of this information in this area.
Okay, thank you. I think we should make this 15 minutes break, so we come back at